I've noticed, John, that there's two kind of gift givers, those who will give books and those who don't ever even think of a book as a gift.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that divided.
It kind of is. I mean, there's people who just never give books because, you know, maybe they're concerned that they're either, you know.
Can't read.
No, or that the person's not going to like the book. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they give it away.
Their friends can't read.
But there are great, I mean, the thing is that books make great gifts.
They do. As they're fading from view in our high-tech world.
No, because now you have e-books, and those are very popular. But in any case, we have some great suggestions from Patrick Henry Bass, our friend and senior editor, Essence Magazine. He has some tips on if you want to give some books for Christmas, what are the best ones? But you know what interests me, Patrick, is one of your rules about book gift giving is that you feel like it has to clearly qualify as a gift rather than like just something you picked up at the CVS stand.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah, John and Celeste.
Thank you so much.
You don't want to think of the book that you give as comparable to a sweater with reindeers on it. You just don't want that look on someone's face when you give it to them. So books are sort of an extension of the personality of the person that you're giving the book to.
So it's got to be a thoughtful gift.
Thoughtful gift. And also you have pretentious friends who love coffee table books. John's talking about the Caravaggio book. They want the Monet book.
Are you calling John pretentious?
I said friends.
But the coffee table book is kind of an interesting sort of antique in this age. It's this immersive entertainment in the era of iPads where you don't have the high quality imagery
Is good news for publishers because you can't replicate, you know, a book like the Marilyn Monroe book on a Nook or a Kindle. You can't replicate the Simpsons collectibles.
Like 3D HD for books.
And these are two of your suggestions.
Correct.
Is the Marilyn Monroe book as a coffee table book, which includes all kinds of things about Marilyn Monroe, including her private letters.
Including her recipe for stuffing, which went over very well, you know, this past Thanksgiving. Marilyn Monroe continues to fascinate people. I mean, there are going to be two movies coming out about her, one with Naomi Watts, one with Michelle Williams. And this is a look at a woman, you know, more than 50 years after, you know, her dominance, really, as a sex symbol, a much more thoughtful, contemplative look at Marilyn Monroe. Far more fascinating person than I think that what we've seen thus far.
These coffee table books transport you back in time. I mean, that's the Caravaggio book did that for me. You can say what you want about Caravaggio, but I love the opening the big page and going back in time.
There's also a book on the Apollo Theater called Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. It just, when people think about the Apollo, they think, of course, of Sandman Sims, you know, sort of, you know, people being booed. But the Apollo Theater gave us Ella Fitzgerald, Cab Calloway, right. Michael Jackson, and Lauryn Hill, who sang Who's Loving You, Who's Loving Who. Michael Jackson is written by Smokey Robinson at the Apollo and lost the talent competition.
Wow. Well, you know, I bet the pictures in the Marilyn Monroe book are prettier just in terms of beauty than the ones in this one. Although the Detroit Disassembled, which is another one of your suggestions, is photos from a very well-known photographer, Andrew Moore. And this time looking at a formerly rich industrial city and what's happened.
Yeah, you know, well, this is the takeaway. So we do things a little bit subversive here. This is Detroit in its decline. So in one way, it's a tragedy documented. In another way, it's hope documented.
I do.
I have a cockeyed view of the world. I think that this is an amazing book for people who don't love the traditional coffee table book, like the people who don't want the Matisse, who don't want the Ansel Adams, who do want something interesting and a conversation starter in their living room.
But, you know, it is true, though. The coffee table book in this format for these pictures, that you look at them for a while, you go, oh, that's terrible. And then it's something snaps.
Well, it's a conversation starter. I mean, you can't look at that book and not have a conversation about Detroit.
Yeah. Which is the purpose of the coffee table book,
yes,
to a certain extent. Yeah. But you have a suggestion for a kid's book, and I think a great piece of advice here, which is don't buy the book you think that you would have wanted 30 years ago, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to give a kid the Secret Garden or the Wizard of Oz.
Nostalgic,
because I think that the kids are going to think that this is, you know, that this is a book that, you know, like they're never going to read it. There's a book called
Jay-Z Goes to Disneyland. Is that what we decode
this year? Decode it. Okay. That's a great book.
Yeah,
actually, it's not bad at all. Although some kids, I think some kids will read that book. Believe it or not, Busing Brewster is a book about integration. But what it really is, Celeste and John, it's a book about loving books. It's a book about integration in the 1970s. A.G. Roth's visuals are stunning. Little
You're
Brewster,
breaking your own
little I know.
You love this book.
I'm a cockeyed optimist, right? Little Brewster integrates a school in 1970, ends up in detention. I'm like, oh my God, another black boy in detention. But in detention, he meets a librarian who exposes him to the world of books.
That's
the
a
visuals
nice story
are
line.
Stunning, stunning.
It's a good elevator
pitch. And this is the conversation on race that we should have had at the Beer Summit.
Interesting. Well, for e-readers, and there's lots of people that are going to get a Kindle this year, if
yes.
you look at sales numbers, you've suggested two biographies.
Yeah. Life by Keith Richards. Now, how he stayed awake at least for an hour to participate in the writing of this book is a miracle.
This book
itself.
Is supposed to be fantastic. This should be a coffee
Little
table
Brown
book.
Paid $7 million for this book, and they have earned every penny of it. This is the type of book, I'm not kidding, that may show up as a Pulitzer finalist. Remember Katharine Graham's, you know, you know, the way that Lauren Bacall's, you know, my life or me was an award, a National Book Award winner, American Book Award winner.
There's probably mention.
This is an awesome book.
There's probably mention of coffee tables in that book, even though it's not a coffee table.
Not at all.
Keith Richards used coffee tables for something else.
Just about everything.
We're going to glide over that particular.
And then there's Just Kids by Patti Smith, which just won the National Book Award, which is a wonderful elogy to her soulmate, Robert Mapplethorpe. But it's also an elogy to New York. So in the same way that Detroit disassembled, documents visually Detroit's decline, she documents in writing New York's decline as a haven
why
for artists.
Why do these as e-books, though? Why not do them?
Because you don't have pictures, John.
You don't have to worry about the pictures.
It feels like kind of a thick paper, and you download.
I think that a lot of people are going to be in airports. They're going to be moving a lot. Yeah. And what's great about these books, they keep moving.
All right.
Yeah, and e-readers actually can be a really enjoyable reading experience. They have them laid out in a way that makes them really entertaining.
I'm down with e-readers. It's sort of the giving.
Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine, and of course, friend of the show. Lots of suggestions on great books to look at. You can see them all at thetakeaway.org. Thanks again, Patrick.
Thank you.